And I'd like to invite our children to come forward for our children's message. This is a children's message for all of us. I found this wonderful book. It is by Barbara Brown Taylor, who is a renowned preacher and also a professor of comparative religion. And by the wonder of technology, y'all can see pictures along with us. So this is a story, and it's called Home by Another Way. Once upon a time, there were three very wise men who were all sitting in their own countries, minding their own business, when a bright star lodged in the right eye of each one of them. The star was so bright that none of them could tell whether it was burning in the sky or in their own imaginations, but they were wise enough to know it did not matter all that much. The point was, something beyond them was calling them, and it was a tug they had been waiting for all their lives. Each in his own country had tried books, tried magic, tried astrology. One had lived on nothing but herbs boiled in water. Another had spent his entire fortune learning to read and write an ancient language. The third had learned to walk on hot coals, though it did nothing for him beyond a great sense of relief he felt at the end. Despite their best efforts, all three of them felt that something was missing. They were all glad for a reason to get out of town, which was clearly where the star was calling them, out away from everything they knew how to manage and survive, out from under the reputations they had built for themselves, the high expectations, the disappointing returns. And so they set out one by one, each believing he was the only one with a star in his eye, until they all ran into one another on the way to Jerusalem. Look, they're all coming from different ways. They come right together. From a distance, each thought the other to be a mirage at first, a twinkling reflection of vapor and heat. But as they drew near to one another, they saw the star they had in common, like a tattoo or a secret handshake, something that made them brothers before they even spoke. They all believed that the star was leading them to Jerusalem. This made perfect sense, because they had every reason to believe they were on their way to meet a king. They had no trouble gaining entrance to the palace. They looked rich, and that was enough to get them a royal audience. But the king they met was something of a disappointment. He was lumpy and rumpled, and he had terrible breath. The guards on either side of him shook in fear of their king, so much that their spears rattled against their shields. Without even comparing notes, the wise men knew this was not the person they were looking for. "Do you know of any other kings in the area?" they asked him. He had been picking at his fingernails until then, letting them know how bored he was. But their question got his attention. He looked right at them for the first time. That was when he saw the star in each of their eyes. His own eyes grew perfectly round like the eyes of a snake. The king asked the wise men if they would please excuse him for a moment. Then he stepped into his private chapel to confer with his clergy. They whipped out their old reference books, which smelled of mold, and told the king what he wanted to know. "Yes," they said, "there was something in the book of Micah about a new ruler for Israel, but nothing to get excited about. It was short. It had been there for a long time. It was unlikely that the men in the other room were fulfilling that prophecy. But sure, why not? Send the wise men to Bethlehem to check it out, to save the king a little money instead of doing his own work." So that's what the king did. He combed his hair and went back to tell the wise men that they should go to Bethlehem at once with his blessing on one condition. that they come back and tell him who his successor was so he could send flowers to the new king. His breath smelled like pine saw when he said it, which made the men feel queasy. They knew something was not right. But once they were back out in the night air, they could see the star in the sky once again, and their minds, and it set their minds at rest. They followed the star right to the doorway of a one-room house in Bethlehem. It was a perfectly nice place, modest but well-built, though not the kind of place they expected to find a king. A dog was sniffing the woodpile under the eaves in hope of a mouse. Someone was practicing the lute next door, going over the same notes again and again. The smell of dinner was still in the air, wheat cakes cooked on a griddle greased with sheep's fat, lentils with lots of garlic and rice. The place looked so simple, they might never have chosen it themselves. But since the star had chosen it, they knocked. When the door opened, the couple standing behind it almost died of fright. Not that the wise men noticed. With their arms full of gifts, they crowded into the small space, bumping their turbans on the rafters and snagging their robes on the rough furniture. All they could see was the baby, who was not afraid and whose right eye shone with the same star they had seen before they ever left home. It was him, whoever he was. They did not have a clue, but they knew what to do. They got on their knees and bowed their heads. See a baby. Who's that? Baby Jesus. Then they gave him all the things they had brought for him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. All the wrong things they could see now, things he had no use for. They should have brought him goat's milk, a warm blanket, something shiny to hang above his crib. But how could they have guessed? The child's parents were gracious. They thanked the strangers for their expensive gifts and held them up for the baby to see. Then, to the wise men's complete surprise, the child's mother picked him up and handed him around so that each of them held that damp, soft, living weight in his arms. When they were finished admiring him, she took her baby back, nursed him, and put him to bed. Then, before the light coming through the window of the house had entirely gone out, the three wise men fell asleep right where they sat. In the morning, when they woke, the wise men couldn't find their stars anywhere. They searched each other's eyes, but the stars were gone. Frantically, they looked in all the corners and under the chairs. The baby's mother even shook out the blankets, but still, no stars. Soon, the wise men calmed down and said, "Never mind, we do not need them anymore." They had found what they were looking for. Something they could not lose. As much as they hated to, they added, they'd better be on their way. They would not be going back through Jerusalem, they said. All three of them had woken from the same identical dream, warning them to steer clear of the city. If anyone in Jerusalem knew anything at all, they would be here instead of there. Besides, none of the wise men's old maps worked anymore. They would have to find a new way home. So the wise men picked up their packs, which were lighter than before. Then they lined up in front of the baby to thank him for the gifts he had given them. "What in the world are you talking about?" said the baby's mother, laughing. "For the scent and weight and skin of a baby," said the first wise man, who had no interest in living on herbs anymore. "For this home and the love here," said the second wise man, who could not remember how to say it in his ancient language. "For a really great story," said the third wise man, who thought that telling the story might do a lot more for him than walking on coals. Then the wise men walked outside, stretched, kissed the baby goodbye, and went home by another way. And that's the end. They came all that way to find a king, and they found a baby. Do you think they were surprised? I think so. But then they said the baby gave them gifts anyway, gifts of love and of peace and kindness, right? Are you ready to go back? Should we say a prayer? Will you say a prayer after me? Okay. All of you say a prayer after me. Dear God, we thank you for the gift of Jesus, who brings love and peace and light into the world. Amen.